Jag from JoJo Show.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
So here we are again. It's time to discuss the weird, wacky, wonderful world in which we live.
Mm-hmm.
So today's useless fact. A cloud weighs approximately 1 million tonnes.
1 million tonnes? A cloud? It's like it's a feather.
They're like it's a feather.
Well...
Exactly.
It's
well,
you think that's a fluffy thing in the sky.
Yeah, 1 million tonnes. It's hard to quantify, really, isn't it? What 1 million tonnes actually weighs, but, or how, yeah, I don't know. It's mind blowing.
How does it equate tons. To 1 million tonnes then?
Well, it's a kilometre square is the average cloud.
Wow, okay.
And I ain't even going to get into the meth with that one. I mean, that's a lot of water. That is a lot of water.
And it's all over England.
And that's just one cloud of millions all over England. And don't we just know it?
We know it, yeah.
So, in the news this week, apparently there's been a sharp rise in vaping among young adult non-smokers. And what I mean by that is the number of adults in England that have started smoking despite having never smoked before, and it's hit 1 million people.
Oh, my God, that's just mad. Yeah, I mean, vaping, all these lovely flavours like chocolate and blueberry and strawberry. I get the appeal, but, yeah, I worry about it sort of being marketed to the younger generation.
I think if you look at the marketing, the packaging, you know, you've got the signs in newsagents, you've got the signs in supermarkets, Tesco's, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
It seems like very young marketing from my point of view. And you say the flavours, blueberry punch or raspberry this, strawberry kiss, and they're sort of bright pink and bright blue and bright green colours. And
yeah.
It seems very much geared towards, if you ask me, children or very young adults.
They are sweetie flavours, aren't
they? They're sweetie flavours, yeah. I mean, the younger we are, the more of a sweet tooth we've got, and it seems to appeal to that.
Yeah.
On a more sort of serious side, you know, it's apparently 95% less harmful than smoking. There's a lot of stats going around, and the anti-smoking brigade come out and say, oh, it's still unsafe. Well, yes, it is still unsafe, but it's safer than putting a fire inside your lungs, you know, which is a cigarette, basically.
Yeah, I've seen in the media about popcorn lung and those sorts of stats, and I suppose if they're... are younger generations vaping, you know, as opposed to when I was a teenager, you know, smoking at 16. But now there's kids vaping at the age of 12 or 13. Is that better or worse?
There's no way that our society wants kids of 12, 13 years old vaping if it's anything to do with smoking. Not at all.
No.
It's not a good thing. But on the other side, like I say, if vaping as a general thing, I'm talking about adults, is much better for us, or less worse, to put it the right way, than smoking, then, you know, why not? And it doesn't stink. Which,
no, but it's constant, though.
It is constant, Jojo, yeah, yeah. I mean, I go on the coach sometimes, I go on the bus quite a lot into the city centre, and if you go up on the top deck, there's kids, and they're like school kids coming home on the bus or going into the city centre, 14, 15 years old, and they're vaping, they're kind of hiding it under their hand and vaping. And you can't really detect it too much. I mean, the bus driver can't see it with the cameras even.
Mm.
He can't see it. You can't really smell it. Mm. You smell something sweet and, you know, you don't really know what it is. It don't smell like cigarettes. So parents are probably not going to detect it. They don't know their kids are smoking them, do they?
No.
Vaping them or whatever you want to say.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've had conversations with people where they've got this pen-like thing in their hand and, you know, they just literally take a quick draw in and pop it back in their fleece, you know, and it's like...
Yeah.
And then 5 minutes later, they're doing it again, as opposed to a cigarette. It's like every hour or whatever, and they'd have to go outside now. But,
yeah
it's craziness.
It is the frequency, which is the concern. But, like I said a minute ago, overall, if you can prevent somebody putting a load of smoke into their lungs that comes from setting something on fire, then, as far as I see it, that's a good thing.
Mm. Well, we'll wait and see.
We'll wait and see what happens. Give it a few years. So, second article in the news. Apparently, 125 passengers have been stuck in Belfast on a cruise ship for 3 days. Just stuck there.
Wow.
right. in dock for 3 days, okay. not going anywhere. Hard to say this. It's called the Odyssey Residences. Real right. mouthful there. And apparently this ship was launched to travel around the world. And the idea is that you can buy in for long periods of time. I think you can buy in for up to 3 years. It costs something insane, like $800,000
oh my Lord.
For 3 years.
Crikey.
But you're on it for 3 years and they're saying treat it like home.
Well, you have no choice but to treat it like home if you're spending $800K on, you know, it's like, wow.
You'd have to, I mean, most people have to sell the house, wouldn't they? Let's be honest.
Well, yeah. And then...
And some.
3 years on a ship? I mean, I think that would drive me a little bit insane, even though you'd go to the most of the locations in the world.
I think after the sort of initial sort of honeymoon period of being on the boat wears off, a couple of months down the line or whatever, might even be shorter, it's going to be a little bit like a three-year prison sentence, isn't it?
Well, it is cabin fever, isn't it?
It is definite cabin fever,
literally.
Yeah.
You know,
they sort of let you out in Madeira on bay release or something, you know?
People walking around Madeira, like, you know, with these long faces, like, oh my God.
With like stripy jumpers and stuff, yeah.
Bag of swag.
Swag bag.
It would be exactly like that, though, wouldn't yeah. it?
The warden, am I allowed to have some visitors on board, please?
Oh, yeah.
To my cabin, to my cell. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I've got to be honest.
Yeah, it's not for me.
No. But good luck if you're on the Odyssey.
Yeah, good luck. Let us know. You know what? If you can send us a voice note or an email from the Odyssey, more than happy to listen.
Absolutely.
And since you'll have absolutely nothing else to do on there, you'll probably listen to us. You'll be listening right now.
Yeah.
So, first question to you, Jojo, today. Okay. Do you think the world is safer now than it was 30 years ago?
That's a toughie, I've got to say. As a female, I've got to say I feel a little bit safer walking around 10 o'clock at night.
Why's that?
Just because I think men are much more aware of how powerful women are now and that we won't just take the wolf whistles and we won't just take the slap on the bum and all that kind of malarkey that used to go on. We were more likely to turn around and slap you back, you know. Women are definitely a bit more feisty now, and in terms of, you know, cameras everywhere, CCTV and so forth. But in other ways, there are much more dangers that I'm aware of that I probably was a lot naive 30 years ago about.
Such as what?
So, you know, really serious kind of criminals, you know, I'm much more aware of them now from the media and you know, when I was back in my 20s, at that age, late teens, 20s, I probably was very naive to those kinds of people.
Yeah, I mean, if I read what you're saying right, or if I hear what you're saying right, I think you're saying something along the lines of what I think as well, which is that there might have been a little bit of a shift. So when I was growing up, 15, 16, 17 years old, especially when I was old enough to actually go out at night and walk around the town and go to pubs and whatever, it was full of every town, city, even village that had pubs, was just full of fights and violence from sort of 7 o'clock on a Friday night onwards, you know, all the way through the weekend and sometimes through the week as well. Just fights kicking off everywhere, everybody going into the pub at the same time at 9 o'clock, drinking like a lunatic for 2.5 hours, getting kicked out half past 11, after full time, and just literally fighting in the streets. CCTV came along. That's kind of stopped. Now, obviously, we watch programmes on the telly and online and stuff, and we see that it still happens, but there's no way you're telling me that that's in the same quantity as it was before. You don't see it when you're driving along. You don't see it if you're walking down the town now.
Mm.
You don't see that level of fights, and I think CCTV is pretty much responsible for most of that.
Yeah.
You know, you ain't getting away. Technology is just such a thing these days. You know, you've got these CCTV operatives in councils and police forces watching every Friday and Saturday night. They know the individual. They know the faces. There's facial recognition software. People can't get away with it, which, if I'm honest, is a good thing. Yeah. It's a good thing, definitely. Mm. It leads me on to CCTV, I think we are watched far too much. That's getting a bit heavy. Not only do we have the sort of cameras at every corner of a city centre, a city council building, police stations, police forces, you've now got Ring doorbells on every other tour going down the street, which is also taking a recording of you. It's recording your voice and so on. I think Big Brother is just getting a little bit bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Okay, so question two. Is technology placing unnecessary pressure on us, especially with older people? And what I mean by that, is it making our life easier, or is it just making it a bit of a hindrance?
Again, it's one of those on the fence kind of questions, Jags. It's I think we implemented a lot of things through COVID that have remained in place, and I think there was additional help through COVID to handle the online kind of world and technology world. But there's certain things I don't like that we've kept. Things like parking apps. What's that all about? You know, and QR codes. Ordering at the table for your food.
Yeah, it's getting a bit nuts. I mean, just talking about apps, and you said parking, right? My mum's of a certain age. She's not interested in apps. She's not interested in giving the details away, because that's the other side of the problem, isn't it? We're already watched so much. So she parks at the other end of the town in a different car park to the one she's always parked in before, because she's got to use an app. A, she don't want to download the app. B, she don't want the details going through. C, she can't be bothered with the hassle every time going on the phone. When she'd just walk along, she'd park up, she'd be in town, pound in her pocket or in her purse, chucks it in the machine, tickets there, in your car, done.
Yeah.
And they'll turn around and say, oh, but it's much easier. It's not much easier if you travel around, is it? I mean, I used to travel around as a salesman, and I'd rock up at different car parks every single day, maybe a couple of car parks a day. Thank God that I wasn't doing it then with apps, because the amount of times you're sort of already running late, you've got about 5 minutes to get to your meeting or your appointment. Oh, hang on a minute, I've got to download an app. And hang on a minute, I've got to download it and then put the reg in. Oh, the Y is the wrong Y, it's a low, whatever, you know. And then your payment's not gone through. Oh, well, let's find another card because it doesn't like that one for whatever reason. Ridiculous, for the sake of a quid.
Yeah.
So
I think it would be all right if it was like one app nationally that everyone could just like join. But there's different car parking apps as well. And it's
literally
like,
everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think they've done it to stop people handing over the parking ticket. Oh, yeah, mate, you've still got half hour left on this. Do you want it?
But there is that to it. Yeah.
So they weren't making as much money. But and QR codes, you know, bring back the waiters. Just go to the bar and order your food, or, you know.
I think kind of on purpose. I don't go to restaurants where you could order on an app, because service is bad enough as it is. And that's a whole different podcast, really, just talking about service in this country and how bad it's got in certain industries. I just think ordering on an app, if it's all right, if it's Wetherspoons, you mentioned that before. I actually don't mind. I think if you're in Wetherspoons, you're in a bar maybe where you sat down with a couple of people anyway, and you see that you're running low on a drink, order the drinks and get them sent over. I think that's a different thing, personally.
Oh, I don't know. Are you taking away jobs from waiting staff? Because, you know, that's what you would normally have done before, is put your hand up and the waiter would have come over and said,
"Yeah, true, true." But at this point, they still have to bring the pints over.
Yeah,
you know, they've got to wait from that point of view, and there's plenty of other things to be doing. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let us know what you think, guys.
Yeah, let's have an out there on that one. Okay, Christmas. This is number three.
The big C.
Yeah. When is it too soon to advertise or celebrate Christmas? That's to you, Jojo.
Well, I've got to tell you, Jags, this is just like really kind of thrown me. August bank holiday, I saw a certain supermarket clearing down four bays, and on that shelf in the middle was Christmas puddings, mince pies, reindeer chocolate, snowballs. I'm like, what? We are in summer. It wasn't even like the 100 days before Christmas on the 16th of September. It was August bank holiday. That's crazy.
Okay, Joe. Look, I'm not stumped on many things, but I'm stumped on this one.
I know.
Maybe they made a mistake. I don't know. I doubt it, but...
I mean, we had Halloween, and we've got Halloween and bonfire night before Christmas. You know, there wasn't any sparklers
exactly.
or
yeah.
pumpkins.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's very strange. But the whole thing's very strange, isn't it? It used to be, you know, going back, like my nan would say, or my granddad, back in the day, you know, you'd get like a bag of oranges and your dad would go and buy your pint or whatever. And that was it, Christmas. And now it's how much can you spend on your children?
Mm.
Can you spend 500 quid? Can you spend 1,000 quid? Where does it stop? And the bombardment every time you turn on the telly or your laptop or your phone, bombardment of Christmas ads, maybe not in August, but certainly by September, they're starting to come through. Now, from September to Christmas, well, depending on what side of it, we're talking at least a quarter of a year. Quarter of a year. It's insane. It becomes boring and mundane. People don't want to see it anymore. They feel that they're sort of being just targeted by the media, just, you know, gently trying to empty your purse or your wallet every single day, something else.
I've got to tell you something, though, Jags. A week ago, even before it got to the 1st of October, this is like last week in September, I saw a house with Christmas lights up.
Yeah, yeah.
How mad is that?
How mad is that? Yep, I agree with you. I think what I should do is impose a fine. I think if you put your Christmas lights up that are visible to other people, don't you like
it? Before the 1st of November exactly. Or something.
1st of November, 1st of December. Come on. Do what you like in your own bedroom, in your own house, as long as the blinds are pulled down and the curtains are closed. Put up your lights in January. We don't care. But for the rest of us out there that are kind of sane, you know, anything before the 1st of December, that's it. You're getting a 300 quid fine through the post.
Yeah.
And if you don't pay it within 14, if you don't pay it by Christmas Day, you get another 300 quid fine.
But don't you find that even the towns now, they switch on their Christmas lights like the first week in November?
Well, while they're doing that, they're doing that for increased revenue. So, let's tell everybody it's Christmas when it's not. Mm. All us sort of dumb people out there that haven't got a brain of our own, we'll go, right, do you know what? Even though it's November, it is actually Christmas. I'm going to go and spend all of my wages today because it's Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, so get us a bit much. Let us know what you think. Let us know your stories as well.
Yeah. If you've got your Christmas lights up, let us know.
Including stories of really bad presents, because I have had a few. Have you, Joe?
Wow. That's another subject for another time. We'll talk about that in January, I'm sure.
You don't want to talk about your worst ever present.
No.
No. Location frustration. So we talk about a place. We give you three clues. You tell us where it is, or you just have a game with your family, your friends, or on your own. But don't use Google. Use your noodles. Just a bit of fun.
Mm.
Okay, so clue number one. This city was home to the first £1 million footballer, and that was Trevor Francis, when he was bought by Nottingham Forest. So he came from this city.
Wow.
Clue number two. Charles Darwin lived here before setting sail on HMS Beagle, and that was the evolution of a species and all that business. Mm-hmm. That's where it came from.
Yeah.
Well, that's where the boat came from anyway. I'm not sure whether he actually lived there before, but I'm sure people will know. Clue three. A bakery called Jacka Bakery, which is the oldest in Britain, apparently. Again, there'd be maybe some contention on that, but
yeah.
Oldest in Britain, going back to 1597. Now, that's quite old.
That is old.
That's older than my...
Well, 450 years, nearly.
Exactly, that's older than my nan.
Wow, 420 years.
Yep.
Jeez.
And also, nice thing is, it's still in business today, and it's family run, so that's nice.
That's really good.
Nice story, yeah.
Where is it?
Let us know. I was going to give another clue then, but I can't. It's too obvious, so we'll leave it there. So, one word in the grave. We talk about words that have gone out of fashion, not really used anymore for quite a while, and we decide whether they should stay in the grave or they should be resurrected and used again because they were cool words. Today's word is collie wobbles.
Oh, I love the collie wobbles. Oh my God. Yeah, I haven't heard that word since I was like 6 or 7. Collie wobbles. Do you know what it means, Jags?
Do you know, I think it's a negative thing. I don't know. I sense that it might be a negative sounding word. I have no idea what it means.
It's kind of like a fun way of saying you're scared. Like you've got the collie wobbles. It's like, you know, you sat at like 3 a.m. in the living room with all the lights off and you kind of sense a little bit of an eerie feeling.
Yeah.
You get the collie wobbles. You know, you don't quite think it's a ghost, but you're not quite sure if someone's behind you.
You've got goosebumps coming up, yeah.
Goosebumps, yeah. So,
well, fair enough. I mean, it's... I think it's quite a nice sounding word. It's got the word wobble in it, which I think is quite a funny word.
Yeah.
Especially when you're a kid. It's like wibble, wobble, yeah. Wibble. Collie wobbles. Yeah, it's quite a harmless sounding word. It sounds very old fashioned to me.
It is.
Yeah. And for that reason, maybe it should come out of the grave. What do you reckon?
I love the word collie wobbles. I want to revive it, guys. Come on. Start saying it again, please.
And at this point, it's time to skip on away. But before we go, today's bad joke is, and remember, these are bad jokes. They're not supposed to be that funny.
Mm-hmm.
So don't expect too much. A bloke said to his mate down the pub, "I took the shell off my racing snail today."
Right.
"Did it work?" "Nah, if anything, it made it more sluggish."
Oh, Jags, you are funny. Well, yep. Done. Well, guys, you can find us on all the socials and thank you for listening.
Okay, take care, guys. Adios.
Bye. The Jags and JoJo Show.